is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
God has spoken all that He needs to in His Son, Jesus Christ, who came and became a visible representation of God so that we could touch Him and know Him and see Him and hear from Him and experience Him so that we could trust Him. Jesus was like God Almighty, who was too awesome for us, coming down and wooing us to Himself. Say, I love you. So that He died on the cross because the penalty was sin leads to death and eternal separation from Him.
In today's message, Pastor Troy teaches us three truths of Scripture that give credit to Jesus' message and the impact they have on human history today. Knowing the truth of God's Word is very important. We need to be living like we really believe it. The good news of the gospel gives us the hope of eternal life. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. And if I told you that, or if you told me, actually, you were sick and you described everything to me and I approached you and I said, well, you know what? I have a pill here that will fix you. It'll heal you. It'll keep you from dying of this. Then you would probably ask me, are you sure? And if I said, I think so. It sounds good to me. I mean, I took one. I'm not dead. Would that be enough for you to take it in? Would that be enough for you? I hope not, because your life depends on it. What if it does kill you? What if there are adverse reactions to it? What if it's not truly the cure? That should be important to you. Well, Jesus came to bring what He called life. Now, many of us, we might think, I have life. I live life. I breathe, I eat, I drink, I enjoy my food, I enjoy life. But Jesus seemed to have said that, no, this isn't life. This is surviving, but this isn't life. There's so much more. I came to give you life, life abundantly, and eternal life. Jesus stood before Pilate, and He said, I came to bear witness to the truth. And Pilate's response was, what is truth? Now, if Pilate had known that the truth was Jesus was going to rise again after this crucifixion, forgive sins, and enable people to live eternally with Him, then Pilate might have said, let me hear more about this. But see, Pilate was content. He was content with this world. He was content with the things that he saw and experienced here. He was content with the ideas and philosophies that best suited him. He wasn't concerned with truth. And what's true is very important, because our eternal destination rests on what's true. What happens to us after life, we can come up with all the nice, loving kind of stories and tales and warm fuzzies we want to, but if it's not true, what good is it? We need truth. We need to know what's true. And Jesus said, I came to bear witness of the truth. There are three things that give credit to Jesus' message, that He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. One, His impact on human history. Being born a poor carpenter's son, He has done pretty good at keeping His name going throughout time. That many in pre-Christ would look forward to one who would come, and then after Christ would look back at that work that he completed on the cross. When so many others died on the crosses, so many others died in that time. So, his impact on human history, that's pretty good. Fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. We know as we study the Bible and as we study prophecy that if Jesus isn't the fulfillment of the Scriptures, then there is no Messiah. There can't be one. Because he alone fulfilled the prophecies that said he will do this, he will be this, he will be born here, he'll be born at this time. There could be no Savior now. But he fulfilled all Old Testament prophecy. Not only leading up to his death, but even the time where he was in the tomb, prophecy was being fulfilled about him. And then three, and this is a big one, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. It gives some validation to his claims to be the Messiah. And our faith should be in him. Though all faith share certain things in common, basically all faiths take the teachings of the founder of that faith. They receive them, they adjust their lives to them, and they pass those teachings on. That's a faith, that's a religion, that's following after someone, right? So Christianity doesn't hold the market on that, passing down testimony. But see, though all the belief systems, especially the major belief systems, are based upon the sayings and teachings of some charismatic leader or some founder written down and passed on, of the four major world religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism, it's only Christianity that claims the resurrection of its founder. See, everyone else, they're passing on great words, wise words, from someone who's dead, and they can find the grave, and they can go visit the grave, and they can dig up the bones if they wanted to. But Christianity, and only Christianity, claims we can't find his body because we can't visit his grave. We visit an empty tomb because our Savior is alive. We don't just carry the words that he had said so long ago and base our life on those words as if he's not alive. He is alive. He speaks today. And he leads us. No new information. There's not a New Testament and then, another Testament. At least not in a true religion. Not in a true faith. God has spoken all that he needs to in his Son, Jesus Christ, who came and became a visible representation of God. So that we could touch him and know him and see him and hear from him and experience him. So that we could trust him. Jesus was like God Almighty, who was too awesome for us, coming down and wooing us to himself. Say, I love you. So that he died on the cross because the penalty was sin leads to death and eternal separation from him. So, what's the truth? We want to consider that as we look at the empty tomb today. Verse 1 we begin. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. This is an amazing moment. They came expecting to pay homage to the dead body, and they find out that dead body's not there, that he's alive. What's the truth? The truth is good news. The word gospel, we read the four gospels, is not truth. So, you know, when you say that's the gospel, you're not saying that's the truth. Gospel actually means good news. That's the good news. And the gospel is good news. Reincarnation is not good news. I mean, to think that you could live this life and if you didn't do well enough, you could come back as a rat. Some of you have been called dirty rat. You could come back as a rat or come back as a cockroach. And think about the poor cockroach. If he doesn't do good, where do you go from there? I mean, they're trying to progress, right? Which really makes you look differently at things, like that bee that stings you. And you go, oh man, you're not coming back as anything better than a gnat or something. You know, God's going to have to take that stinger from you. I mean, you just look at life weird. That's not good news. To think that, especially, this is my highest men, or I dissolve into nothingness. That gives me a lot to look forward to. And to even come back as a man again. You know, done that, been there. I'm ready for eternal life, the one that God promises. I don't think I'd want to come back and do this all over again, especially if I couldn't have the lessons I've already learned and I got to start all over again. That'd be a bummer. I've said before that I would like to go back and, with the knowledge I have, make some different decisions, but in reincarnation, you don't. Otherwise, they'd be a lot wiser than they are. Actually, we'd all be a lot wiser. Because I was a cockroach in my last life. You know, that's why I don't like to get stepped on. I don't like to let people step on me because I was a cockroach. That doesn't happen and it's not good news. Or to say, going to heaven. But when you go to heaven, you're going to have many, 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 many wives and tons of children. You're going to populate your own planet. And the whole process is going to begin again. I mean, like if one of your little children goes wayward, you got to go send down a savior and go save them. And thought, man, that doesn't sound like good news. Now, that's the Mormon gospel, that you become the god of your own planet. And there's been gods before our God, Elohim, who had a planet. And so you have kids, I guess they go wayward and you got to go down and save them. And I thought, man, that's not good news. That just keeps on going. I got 3 kids right now. That's enough for me. That's a big enough world for me. I don't want to populate a whole planet and then be responsible for them. And you know what? My personality, my planet wouldn't get a savior. I'd have judged them all. Just wipe them out. Just wipe the flood out, man. That's good. Just live with my family. So that's not good news. See, the good news, it definitely wouldn't be good if you were on my planet, right? Yeah, on your planet. The good news is that sin can be forgiven. That sin separates us from God, the one true and living God who is eternal, and He wants a relationship with us, an intimacy with us. That's good news, that He wants us. And He has gone out of His way, literally, so that He could have that, engage in that relationship with us, extend it to you, that you could have a relationship. And that death is defeated. Death is not the end. That there's something to live for beyond this life. That's good news. And that because Jesus defeated death, because that there's an eternity beyond this life that's going to happen, that what messed up this world will never mess up His world again. Everything will be restored and made right. And people will ask the question, well, people, can't we have another fall later on? You know, everybody's up in heaven. That's how they started, in heaven. And can't we end up in heaven? And people still have a free will, right? Are we just going to be robots? And can't there be another fall? Because people have their own. And that one got me for a moment. And then I heard a story about a woman who lived through a tornado. And it made it all make sense to me. You see, before the fall, we didn't know what sin looked like, tasted like. We didn't know what the consequences were. And we sure hadn't seen the wrath of God poured out. So we had nothing to compare to. But this woman, she said, you know, before we lived through this tornado. We didn't take the warnings all that seriously. Warnings come, they go. You know, we didn't take it all that serious. He said, but once our house got hit and a tornado hit us, he said, when you experience something like that, you are never the same. Never the same. We take warnings seriously. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what's going to happen. There will never be another fall because we will have been able to compare, contrast. And we, in the end, when we're so silently watching up from heaven, wrath being poured out on the earth, we'll go, that versus this, and we will see heaven in all its glory. That will never interest me ever again. Independence from God, doing it my way, seeking worship for myself, that doesn't even taste good anymore compared to being in your presence now that I can see the difference. And we can see the love of God, which, by the way, the love of God would not have been as clear to see if there hadn't been a fallen world. Because God would have loved perfect beings. You're perfect and I love you and you're perfect. But his love is shown and revealed in that while we were still sinners, some versions say enemies toward him, Christ died for us. And so we see things much more clearly. There will not be another fall. That's good news. If you don't want to go to heaven, you won't be there. If you don't care to be there, you won't be there. That's okay. I'm excited about heaven. I look forward to being with him. I long for it right now. But while I am here, I want to commit myself to serving him, to knowing him, to following him, to letting him use me. Because it's good news to hear that God loves me. That motivates. He's risen. The angel invites them to go in and to see. Because there would have been some gaps in their witness if they had simply gone to the tomb, heard the angel speak, and then gone back on his word alone. Because then the disciples would, did you look in the tomb? Did you see it? No, I didn't. And there could have been room for doubt. But they go in and they see for themselves. The Greek word used for come and see is eido or eido, which means come and experience it for yourself so you have firsthand knowledge. That's the idea. We might say, check it out for yourself. They experience the reality of the situation. And the angel reminds them, as he said, he's risen as he said. Jesus had said he would be raised. Now they haven't remembered this yet. It's all so overwhelming at this point as they run back to tell the other disciples and they'll run into Jesus again. Or they'll run into Jesus and worship him and it's just an amazing experience. But Jesus, he talked about it. He said, I'm going to rise. All the disciples heard, you're going to die? They didn't hear the raise part. I'm going to rise. You know, I'm going to raise on the third day. But Jesus did make some bold claims. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way, is what he said. He said, he who does not receive my words has that which judges him. That's kind of, that. If he weren't the Lord, that's kind of arrogant. You know what? I don't even have to defend myself. If you don't believe me, that will judge you. Wow. Do you believe his word? And I want to ask you with the idea that you live like you believe his word. Not just, yeah, intellectually I process it, and of all the doctrines and philosophies out there, this is the one I like the best. This is the one I adhere to. I don't mean that, like it's the lesser of all the evils, kind of like we vote for our politicians. Oh, there's no one to vote for, so let's just vote for the one that's less of all the evils. Do you believe the word so that you submit yourself to it, find your strength in it, so that you follow him because of it? Are you aware that there is truth? That if you try to hide behind lies, that those lies keep you from life. Those lies that people try to live through, hiding, I believe, intellectual assent, I believe, I acknowledge this, yay Jesus, but to live in a way like you don't believe is very dangerous. For example, some could go to church regularly, but they sit in that church and without conviction, outside of church, they live in a relationship, engage in a relationship that dishonors the Lord, that denies His word. I mean, with little to no conviction. Or you come and you worship and I'll give you all, Lord. But consistently, without conviction, you go out and you're lazy at work. You don't work. You steal from work. Or how about watching videos that are ungodly? I'm talking with little to no sense of conviction. His church is not a yay Jesus club. It's the kingdom where He is Lord. And those who believe in Him, they follow Him. 1 John 1:5 through 10, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. God is good, and we should desire to follow Him. If you are thankful at all that He has reached out to you to save you, there's a response that happens. You don't have to force it. It happens where we are thankful to God, and we respond. We come in and we see. We experience. And our relationship with Him is not just based upon mere words on a page, but we also have an experience with Him that He is good, that He is alive, that He is at work, and that His promises are faithful. But more than just coming to Him and experiencing this for ourselves, so that what can happen in some circles is that we isolate ourselves, we back away from the world. We're also to be a light. We're in the world. We're not of it, but we are in it. And we can't influence the world if we isolate ourselves and we just try to be our own little thing, our own little island. We can't penetrate the world if we're off on our own little island. And so we are in the world. And He says, go tell the disciples, because the good news is to be shared. To be shared with others. What are we to tell them? That He is risen. That Jesus is alive. If they don't want to hear anything beyond that, if they don't even care about that, move on.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have